Welcome to another episode of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Ariana Pelosi. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Ibrahim Sahin, a medical oncologist from the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. We will be discussing the recently published manuscript, Minimal Residual Disease-Directed Adjuvant Therapy for Patients with Early-Stage Colon Cancer, Circulate US, of which Dr. Sahin was the lead investigator. So just to start off, can you discuss what the rationale was for the study?
Yes, thank you. And thanks again for inviting me here. I'm hoping this interview will be helpful for the audience as well. So the rationale of the study really stems from our colon cancer adjuvant trials. So what we used to do in the past that we utilized pathological and clinical risk factors to define patients at risk for recurrent disease after surgical excision of primary tumors. So what was that is basically the tumor staging, which is basically lymph node metastasis, and T staging, which is basically depth of the tumor on the bowel wall. And we used to use also additional criteria, we call them high risk factors, to further define who may be at risk of disease recurrence. So these were, for example, grade of the tumor, lymphovascular invasion, perineural invasion, or sometime intraoperative perforation of the tumor. But over the time that we came to realize that these factors, and also including the staging itself, really doesn't define accurately the patients who may be benefiting from adjuvant treatment and who may not be benefiting. So these are historical factors that we utilize to really to define risk as a risk stratification. Although it didn't mean everyone really on this on these risk factors, based on these factors, are benefiting from chemotherapy. And more importantly, they were lacking really precision in terms of to define which adjuvant treatment may be more beneficial for each of these, based on each of these risk factors. So the circulating free tumor DNA, which is we call ctDNA, came to really help to answer this question, at least partially for now, to really understand to define, I would say, patients at high risk for recurrent disease. So circulating tumor DNA is basically the genetic makeup of the cancer cells that are released to the blood circulation, either just because they are dying or just because they are growing. So this really allows us to really understand if there are still cancer cells lingering in the somewhere in the body that we just can't really detect them with conventional methods, such as CT scan or PET CT. But we know if their DNA is in the blood and still circulating after a certain time, that means this is a surrogate of the existing, persisting or cancer cells after a surgical approach. So how we also learned more about the impact on recurrence of disease is from prospective clinical studies. As of now, I would say there's really strong evidence from this prospective studies that ctDNA, circulating tumor DNA, again, that originates from these cancer cells that we may not see them with current methodologies that we have, really predicts the recurrence the most significantly across all risk factors, including pathologic risk factors, including clinical risk factors. The only single most potent factor that defines risk of recurrence is circulating tumor DNA. And these prospective trials that allow us learn the role or the significance of the circulating tumor DNA really created this rationale, how we can use this tool that really teaches us or that defines the patient population who are at risk of recurrence, and then develop approaches or algorithms to really deliver right adjuvant treatment to right patient population who may really benefit. So in other words, we are trying to actually bring the precision medicine That we actually hearing a lot nowadays for advanced stage colon cancer to earlier stage, that they define really to patient who may be at risk really of recurrent disease. We call it minimal residual disease. And then deliver those chemotherapy, perhaps escalate for those patients who are positive for this test, and then also probably consider de-escalate for those who doesn't have. So that's the whole background and rationale of this trial.
Great, thank you. So I know you'd previously just mentioned the patient population. So can you discuss a little bit about those who are eligible for this study?
Yes. So the currently Circulate US will be enrolling patients with stage 3 and also stage 2 for cohort B. So for stage 2, 3A and B can be enrolled in both cohort A and B, depending on their circulating tumor DNA testing results. In addition to that, cohort B really allows, and actually this is for meant to really to not only increase the to recruitment, but also provide opportunity for those patients who may benefit from this trial. It allows also patients who are stage 3C, which is really high risk for recurrent disease that we know from our past experiences, and also stage 2 with circulating tumor DNA positive. The cohort A will not enroll any patient with stage 3C, because this is the patient population we know the risk is really high, and even circulating tumor DNA negative status results wouldn't give us enough assurance as of now, I would say, to enroll them. Overall, stage 3 is the patient population, but there's flexibility in cohort B for patient stage 2 as well.
So when talking about the two treatment arms, arms A and B, what were the interventions used in the study?
So that's a great question, and that's the honest, I think, most exciting part of this study. So cohort A is the cohort that we are will be enrolling our patients without a circulating tumor DNA. Actually, this is the patient population that is the most common. Majority of the patients, no matter stage 3 or stage 2, do not actually have circulating tumor DNA. And in the cohort A, what we aim to do is this cohort A will randomize patients to two arms. One arm is basically standard of care, which is basically our adjuvant treatment, could be FOLFOX or CAPOX. An interventional arm is actually knowing that they don't have circulating tumor DNA, which is the single most important predictor of the recurrence, that maybe we can start consider watch and wait. And at the time of the circulating tumor DNA becomes, ctDNA becomes positive, and then enroll them in the cohort B to escalate treatments. So the cohort B is the patient population who do have, patients who do have circulating tumor DNA in their blood. And this cohort will also randomize the patients into two arms. Arm one will be standard of care, again, the conventional adjuvant treatment. This will be selection of the patient and also the providers, which is either CAPOX or FOLFOX. And then the interventional arm is meant to increase to intensity of the adjuvant treatment, which use triplet regimen, which we call FOLFIRINOX. And this adds a drug in it to the standard of care, which is irinotecan, that we have studied in metastatic setting. And it is a successful drug. Our hope with this study design and adding this third drug to this combination may actually help us to eliminate these residual cancer cells more effectively compared to two drug regimens. So this is hypothesis and this is expectation. And hopefully once the study is finished and completed, we'll have a better idea on this outcomes.
And then can you discuss a little bit of the endpoints that are outlined in the study?
Yes, that's a great question too. So the cohort A, so both arms, cohort A and cohort B are actually designed as a phase 2 and phase 3 trials. So cohort A are the patients, again, who do not have circulating tumor DNA in their blood. And in this arm, we will be really looking to circulating tumor dynamics in phase two portion of the study, which means we'll be looking time to positive circulating tumor DNA. This is the primary endpoint of phase two portion of the cohort A. And phase three portion, we'll be looking DFS, which means disease-free survival. So initially, we'll try to understand this circulating tumor dynamics in the stage three and A and B cohort patient population, whose ctDNA is negative in the beginning. How many patients of this cohort will turn into circulating tumor DNA positive status, and how long does it take? So this is one of the key endpoint of the cohort A in phase two, and phase three will be disease-free survival. Cohort B is again the patient population whose test is positive for circulating tumor DNA. And in this patient population, we are looking for disease-free survival because they are already positive. You know, they do have already residual disease in their blood, and we are trying to eliminate and look for disease-free survival if we achieve that. And obviously, we'll be looking some exploratory analysis in addition to the endpoints, which will be the percentage of the patient who are converting to ctDNA positive to negative status as well. And this will also teach us to understand dynamics of the circulating tumor DNA among the patient population who do have circulating tumor DNA positivity in the beginning.
And then, as you've previously mentioned, this is currently an ongoing trial. So what is the status of the trial, and where do you see it going in the future?
Great question. So study is open, excited for that. It's enrolled first 10 patients already. So this is very promising. And the study opened actually just a couple months ago, even though there's a big enthusiasm nationwide, I would clearly say, to open this study. Over 200 sites across the United States are registered and willing to open the study and of recruiting patients. We have a long way to go. The study is meant to enroll approximately 2,000 patients. So this is a big study. However, this is very doable, and because we know the adjuvant trials actually enroll a lot faster, the expectation of the results and impact on the future practice will take time, because getting the results will be probably an answer of the next couple, I would say at least couple years, but eventually once we have the results, this will probably define our future approach, how we really tailor adjuvant treatment more within a more precise manner to really choose right patient population to really deliver right adjuvant chemotherapies. So I'm hopeful, and there are always glitches in trials, and there's going to be an amendment to really elevate and make this study easier for everywhere, and also remove the potential concern and questions. But I think there's big enthusiasm, and it's really encouraging. This study will be successful.
And then finally, is there anything else you wanted to discuss?
Well, I think in that regard, I would like to reemphasize how important this study is. This is going to really allow us to learn how we can safely use circulating tumor DNA and really utilize this tool to deliver adjuvant treatments to our patients more appropriately and probably more precisely. So circulating tumor DNA has been actually in the practice and has been used. I do encourage my colleagues to really consider actually this trial so that this will allow us to learn and also give us more confidence in terms of how we safely utilize this tool in terms of identifying the patients in terms of who may need the chemotherapy and really de-escalating and giving opportunity to those patients who may not need the chemotherapy. So this prospective data is really key for our patients. And really, I encourage my colleagues and also patients certainly consider this trial. This may help them and also may help also future patients that may have colon cancer in early stage and getting surgical excision and who may need or may not need adjuvant treatment.
Right, great. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciated you speaking about your recent study that was published.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me here.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network.